Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This evening, we're not going to prolong things. We're going to move forward. We have Pastor Dawn Mixon from Long Island, New York, who will be sharing a word with you of wisdom And we just pray that if you have any comments, you can call 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can be connected. We are an interactive Bible study. That means that we invite you to call in if you have a question for the speaker. We'll be sure to answer it for you. Amen. Pastor Dorn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to move forward. We're turning it on over to you, and you can move forward as the Lord says so.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Clay, and all of the listeners on the line tonight. I'm grateful to be on the radio with you on tonight again. Every third Wednesday, I will be on the line. I want to talk with you on tonight about something that often we all kind of deal with, and that is speaking life and death within our own tongue. I just want to have prayer with you before we go into the word on tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight for your many blessings. We thank you that we have the opportunity to hear from your word and glean from your word. And God, while we realize that there is no new Bible, there must be fresh revelation. And so, God, we are grateful today that we have the opportunity to listen to your word and leap off, that the word will leap off the pages on today. And so, God, we pray today that your blessings and your word will come through in a mighty way. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed, amen. And so
amen.
We are in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 20, the Gospel according to Matthew 21, 18 to 22. And it reads, now early in the morning as Jesus was coming back to the city, he was hungry, seeing a lone fig tree at the roadside. He went to it and found nothing but leaves on it. And he said to it, never again will fruit come from you. And at once the fig tree withered. When the disciples saw it, they were astonished and asked, how is it that the fig tree has withered away all at once? Jesus replied to them, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have faith, personal trust, and confidence in me, and do not doubt or allow yourself to be drawn to directions, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen if God wills it. And whatever you ask for in prayer, believing you will receive. I'm going to read verse 22 again of Matthew 21 out of the Amplified Bible. It says, and whatever you ask for in prayer, believing you will receive. And so I want to take for a subject on tonight, don't breathe life into what you want to let die. Don't breathe life into what you want to let die. Oftentimes we have the proclivity to speak before we give thought to our utterance, not realizing that we speak life and death into our destiny. The Bible even lets us know in Proverbs 18 and 21, Proverbs 18, 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so there are many of us, we speak things oftentimes, whether we realize it or not, we speak things that we really may not even mean to say. We just say it out of habit, whether we say, oh, I'm tired, and that's a constant one, or I'm hungry, and we may not even feel that way, but yet and still we speak those things, not realizing that when we speak that those things come to pass. In some way or another. And so when we are physically tired, a lot of times it's because we've sown seeds of tiredness or sown seeds of different things that we may or may not want in our lives. And so there are many people who have accepted not having being comfortable with a mediocre lifestyle. They're not happy with failure or with success. Not happy living out the goodness of the of your destiny, but often speak the demise and failure in their life and in the life of others. We have to be very careful what we say, what we speak over our children, what we speak over our families, because it really matters what we say. And we feel like, oh, no, we don't really, that's not really happening. I'm just saying it because that's how I feel at the time. But if we are more careful with what we speak and what we say and start accepting more positive things instead of failure, and so to the point that we speak so much failure in our life that we become comfortable in being failures. We become comfortable because we say, oh, this is not going to happen for me because in our life that has been a repetitious thing. It has always been this way, but sometimes those things happen because of what we have sown in our lives prior to where we are right now. But if there's anybody that wants destiny to be greater in their future, then you have to speak life into it. But a lot of times we speak life into the things that we really don't want to live. The bad relationships or sickness. We speak into those things and we continue to speak in those things and it continues to live. We allow it to resuscitate every time we breathe into it. And so when we come to an understanding that there are certain things in our life that we just need to let die and let go and stop speaking into it, then we are able to move on in life. And what we have to understand is that anything that you don't want in your life, don't give attention to. When we start giving attention to the things that happen in our life, then we find ourselves that we really don't want to have attention in our lives. We find ourselves continuing following a pattern, and sometimes this can be a generational pattern that happens. It happened to our mother. It happened to our grandmother. It happened to our great-grandmother. And sometimes those generational curses come because we speak into them. And so when we realize that we have generational curses in our life, then we have to understand that we want to move on from those things. And so now when I know that it's a generational curse, I have to do what I need to do to move out of that area of that generational curse and start speaking life and positiveness into my life so that I don't have to deal with those things. And then I start thinking the fact that now I know this is a generational curse in my life. I now, when I continue to do what I realize is a generational curse, I then make it a general choice because I know what happened in the lives of my forefathers, but I don't want that to happen to me. And so I speak over the life of my children and my children's children that they shall have great destiny to take place in their life. And so here in this particular text, it's a text that we hear over and over again concerning Jesus and this fig tree that bared no fig. The thing about this particular tree is that it looked like it bare fruit. The leaves were full, and it looked like it should be bearing fruit. But as Jesus approached the tree, he realizes that it looked good, but it had no production. And so when we start looking at things, there were a lot of us have been in that place where we had things that come in our life that look good, but it did not profit us anything. It did not produce anything. And when we get to the place that we understand that we are looking for things to come in our life to help us produce into destiny, one thing you don't want to have to deal with is having things that are expected to produce after its own kind make itself look like it's something that it's not. And all of us maybe on this line have gone through that at some point in time. On our jobs, we thought that the job was going to be more than what it was, but it did not produce what we thought that it was going to produce for us. Now what happens is when I have something that looks good but does not produce, went to the tree because he was hungry, and now his hunger is not being fulfilled because something did not produce what it should have. And the one thing what happens is when something does not produce what it should have, it leaves you in a place where it is empty. And there is a failure here because now I can't move on to the next destination sometimes in our lives because what's around me does not produce. And so there are certain things that are around you. You're in places that are not producing. There are people around you that are not producing. Because we have relationship where we are and because we're comfortable where we are, we have accepted the fact that we rather deal with an unproductive place in our life that is holding back our destiny from what we're supposed to have because we are sitting and we're looking for something to produce that is not producing. It's just like this. When we're looking for things to continue and we look at the same thing over and over again and it's doing the thing that it's always done and we're expecting something different from it and we get no different result, that's just insanity. We're looking for something to continue to do the thing and think that we're going to see something different in life from that individual or that situation or that job. There are some people that are in a place looking for promotion that you'll never get to because there is no place for promotion. And so we sit in a place thinking that we're going to move higher, but we don't move higher because there's nowhere to move. Here in this text, the disciples in verse 20, when they come back because Jesus speaks over this fig tree and says that you will never again produce fruit will come from you. You will never produce what you're supposed to produce because you did not produce it in the time that you should have done, and you disguised yourself as if you were possibly that you were supposed to produce, but you didn't. And so he says to the tree, you're not going to produce fruit ever again. And at once the fig tree began to wither. Here we see the power of Jesus and when he speaks to the tree, and immediately the tree begins to wither. And so when the disciples saw it, they began to be astonished and ask questions. How in the world did this fig tree wither all at once? See, first of all, you're hearing the Creator speak to what he has spoken to before that is supposed to produce. And there are some of us that God is speaking in our lives, and we're supposed to produce some things out of our life, and we're looking and we're acting as if we are productive, but yet and still we are not productive. And there's so much more that God has for us, but yet and still we find ourselves not able to produce. And that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be exactly what he calls us to be. And a lot of times we are not producing because we're not speaking production in our life. This text lets us know that we have the power to speak those things that we want from God. Verse 22, as I read, and whatever you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. A lot of times we get to the good part of asking. A lot of times we don't have a problem asking. And we don't have a problem believing. But there comes a time where we have a problem where we want to receive the things of God because we feel unworthy. We feel like because of where we come from and we go back to the thing, again, we are not willing to accept a lifestyle that is greater because for some reason people believe that the children of God are supposed to be broken poor. That is not what God wants for his people. How in the world can we live a life, and I'm not saying that you have to have riches and be millionaires because a lot of times people view success by the money that you have, not realizing that that is not what brings success. What the will of God is for your life, that's what I want to have. I want whatever God's will is for my life. Now, let me tell you this. Everybody is able to get to that mature, spiritual mature level, because a lot of times the spiritual things that we want or the will of God for our life does not go with what we really want in our life. So we have to really sit down and ask ourselves the question, do we really want the will of God for our life? Because sometimes our will and God's will do not add up. They're not the same thing, because a lot of times we deal with the things of our flesh, and God is trying to deal with the things of your spirit, and he's trying to get you into a place where your destiny and what we into your destiny where you're supposed to be. And when we recognize and realize that our feet are ordained, are ordained by God, everything that God wants for us, when we allow God to do his will in our life, that's when we step into destiny. And so we want to be able to be as children of God, people of God, to be able to produce. We don't want just to be people who look like Christians. We can do what Christians do as long as we're in the certain atmosphere around certain people. We can't just be people who look like Christians when it's on Sunday morning. There ought to be a place in you when people look at you when you're on your job, when you're in the grocery store, wherever you are, they should be able to see Jesus. Not only that, when they see you, there should be some fruit on you, that when somebody speaks to you, that you will be able to produce and give them what they need at that appointed time in their life. And so I just want to share with somebody in on this line on tonight that life seems like it's going through this constant downfall, this constant failure. I want you to start speaking. Change your speech. Change your thought process, because I believe when we start speaking those things that are what we want from God, if it is God's will for us. See, this is where we get things confused. The Bible says, and whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. See, but you've got to understand that some of these things that we're asking for are not in the will of God. They're not in the will of God. So how am I going to ask for something that is contrary to what God wants for me? And so I have to get to the place where my relationship with God is so great that my will will add up with his will. If you remember, Jesus, when he had to go to the cross, he was talking to his Father, and he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It was his will to let the cup pass. Maybe there's a different way we can go about this. But then he got a nevertheless in his spirit. It's not what I want, God, but it's what you want for me. And I know what my destiny and my assignment is. But it's really not necessarily what I want to do, but I'm doing it because it is my assignment. There are those who are listening tonight. You have an assignment. And some of you may ask the question, what is my assignment? You've got to get to the place where you're speaking to God, talk with God, let God know that, God, I want to do what is right in your eyesight. And in order for you to know what the will of God for your life is, you must have a relationship with God. I promise you, my sister and my brother who are listening on tonight, that God will show you your destiny when you sit down and speak to him. Now, oftentimes when we pray, this is something that people do often. We ask God for things, and we pray, and our prayer is, God, please bless me with this, bless me with that, and God, look over my children, look over my household, look over my pastors, look over my family, and we get up and we walk away. But you've got to realize that you've got to communicate with God, and sometimes you have to have a dialogue with God. And so when we speak to God in prayer, sometimes we have to sit silent to hear God's word for us and his will for us. And a lot of times we're looking for this audible voice when God is speaking. speaking to our spirit, and he will let you know within your spirit what his will is for you. And so we have to get out of this continuous circle and realize that there is so much more that God wants for you. For those who are listening today, I'm going to open up the floor a little bit early. I want to get some questions for you or some people who are out there who are struggling in this area, because there are a lot of people who are looking to find out what really is the will of God for their life. And, you know, I believe that all of us have purpose. And if you're living and breathing, there is purpose for you. That's why destruction didn't come to your life. That's why the car accident didn't kill you. That's why cancer didn't kill you, because there is yet a purpose for your life. And so if there's someone out there that says, Pastor Dawn, I just want to share something tonight that might help somebody that is on the line listening, where God may have spoken to you and helped you out in this area of your life, where you decided to change your thought and your speech and decided to speak destiny in your life, and that caused you to move a little bit further in life, and because a lot of us are on pause because of where we are. We have not spoken anything in our life that would push us into destiny. So the floor is open for you tonight early, so you can share something with us on tonight.
Amen. Amen. The mics are open. The mics are open if you have a question. Hallelujah. The mics are open. If you have a comment, all you have to do is speak, whatever you would like to ask.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to continue on. And if you have something in there, just jump in and say, Pastor, I agree with it. And I don't mind y'all saying amen on the line. you know, because, you know, us pastors, we sometimes we need a little praise posse to help us out. Okay. So when we continue to go around in circles in our reality, not able to get out because we are looking at where we are and not where we're going, the way we get out of our present circumstance is that we have to realize that if I want something for my life, and there's something that is in my life that is causing me or causing me to hesitate from getting where I want to go, there are all of us that may be on this line tonight that are dealing with things that we thought were in the past, things that we thought we were delivered from, things that we thought we would never do again, things we thought this ain't going to happen in our life ever again. And that's when people come around, and they want to bring back old things, and they want to bring about how you used to be in your past. You know, sometimes you got to let people know that's not who you are. That's not where I am. I'm almost to the point where you say, I don't even know what you're talking about. Because a lot of people want to reminisce on things that you've allowed to die in your life. And when you allow people to bring that back in your life, what it causes you to do is breathe air into it. It causes you to resuscitate, that you're giving it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And the thing that you do not want to live, you don't want to speak life over. Because when you've let it go, you need to let it go. Whether it be relationships that hadn't that produced nothing for you, whether it be jobs that produced nothing for you, just even things that were in your life that you've done that just were unproductive, that killed you, that kept killing your spirit and kept killing your finances. Let me tell you something. Anything that is causing you to die. This is the one thing about salvation that I got an understanding of, because our flesh desires so many of the sinful ways that are out there of the world. That's why God lets us know we are in the world but not of the world. And when some of us really look back on our past, of where we come from, there are people that may be on this line who were alcoholics, that were dealing in drug addiction, and God delivered you from it. Let me tell you something. You don't want to speak back like that, and that when that's dead, it's dead. There may be old old gang members on this line from the Bloods and the Crips, but God delivered you from where you were. And you said, I'm never going back to that again. And so in order for us to do that, sometimes we have to change our surroundings and change our people. And sometimes you can't even go back to that. And sometimes you can't even have conversation with people of that nature because you've delivered. And you don't want to speak life into anything that's trying to live and that's going to cause you to fall back into what you were in. And so you have to realize that your present circumstance where you are, you've got to start speaking and believing the things that you want to see in your life to come to pass. Surround yourself around faith-talking believers. I can't express this enough. You have to be around faith-talking believers because who you surround yourself to, they also speak into you.
Can I make a comment?
Yes. You have the opportunity to speak, allow to speak into others to speak into you. And so if I'm going to surround myself by people, I want what they speak into my life to edify me, not crucify me. And so when I allow people to speak into my life, and sometimes it's all right. It's all right for you to stop people right in their tracks when they're speaking into your life because it's your life. And there's certain things I'm not willing to accept. Don't put that out in the air on my life when I know what God has already predestined for me. And so you've got to learn how what to receive and what not to receive.
Pastor Dawn, we have a 770 that has a question for you.
Okay, I'm listening.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay, I wanted to comment earlier on what she was saying. I couldn't get through. She was talking about what you said earlier, and you asked questions, and nobody made a response. I was trying to get through, but anyway, there's a lot of it has to do with social media, and we're not willing to put that time in with God. You know, see, like a lot of times, what I do, I raise up early in the morning. And where there's nobody staring and there's nothing going on and it's just me and God. And see, a lot of people have to find that quiet moment with so much social media and all the other things and kids and all the activities that's going on in our life. We don't put that time in, and that's why we can't, you know, find out what God wants us to do because we don't give him enough time. And that's the biggest thing today with a lot of the young folk and the people that are trying to seek God. They're not seeking him like they should. And once you connect and you find out and you hear that voice, then you're in and then you know how to get in touch. But you have to spend that time because it's not for that quick moment or, you know, you're gonna pray and seek God just before you go to work. You have to spend time, you know, and that's the key is spending that time.
Amen.
Absolutely, bro. Brother, that is such a good point. While social media has its benefits, it also has its negatives. It's infiltrating our children, and so it's hard to compete with social media when there's so many negative things on social media. And like you said, we're going to have to at some point in time put down Facebook and Twitter and all those different things and really get that time that we need with the Lord. It's amazing to me. Sometimes it's something because the tool that we have, it's amazing because I grew up in the old school. We didn't have no phones in our cars. You know, we had pay phones and we would have to look for pay phones. You didn't, if you got stuck on the side of the road, you didn't just pick up your cell phone and call somebody for help. No, you had to get out your car and walk to find a phone so that you can get help. And so now everything is readily at our hands, and we don't realize but that we don't take the time to really sit down and talk to God and pray with God, and we've lost that time with God. And what has taken that time is social media. There was time when we would come home from school and we ate together as a family, and that was the opportunity where our parents could sit down and talk with us mm-hmm. about our day and what was going on and share with one another. And that was the time that we asked questions concerning things that we did not know. And we did not get it from social media. We got it from our parents in those days. And so one thing about when you have good people in your life that you can trust, they can share a word in your life and give you directions. And so it is so difficult for us now to put down our iPads and put down our computers and put all those different things down in our cell phones, because those things are readily available. And we've lost our relationship with God because we have not had the control to put things down. It's just like somebody who has their phone in the car. And as much as we say, I don't use my phone while I'm driving, there are so many people who text, that call, and do all those different things while they're driving on the phone, because it's almost like it's something just drives you to it, to the point where you either got to put your phone away underneath your seat or whatever so that you won't grab it, because we're so readily available for those things that don't bless us or produce in our life. But when we are when it's time for us to talk to God, we make every excuse in the world why we cannot pray. We make every excuse in the world why we don't take the time and get to our services or have the opportunity to just be with God. And we really do. I agree, bro, that we really need to talk to God more as a people so that we can hear from God and give direction in our communities, in our homes. And I think a lot of things would change if we would do that.
Yeah, just think if we put the time in, you know, because when you, and I'm sure it's across all churches in this country, if you go to each church and you look at the Bible study or their prayer session, like we have prayer on every first Saturday, and if you look at the prayer session, then we also have prayer on the phone on Wednesday, call in, and you look at those areas, which are the most important areas where you're getting in touch with God and you're also being surrounded by other believers. And you look at those areas, those are the most empty areas in the church. On Sunday, the church is full. See, but, you know, how many are true worshipers on Sunday? You know, or how many are those that come because, you know, mama came and big mama came, you know, on Sunday, and that was the thing you did. See, so seeking God is what we really need to understand, is seeking Him and really seeking Him, you know, because you hear it and people get up and they get excited, but when they leave, you know, it's over with, you know. So that's the thing. We have to be really true worshipers, true people that are seeking and really seeking for God. Now, the social media has its place because it has a thing where a lot of information you can gain and a lot of knowledge, and then you also have the Bible on social media where if you don't know how to pronounce certain things, you can pronounce it because it's there and it's being taught to you. See, but we don't take advantage of those situations, but we're looking at everything else but that. See, amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I believe everything has its purpose. And I believe that everybody, you can use it for its good, but then we can also abuse it, you know. And that's with everything, because whenever God made anything, after He created everything He made, He said it was good. And even in
Amen.
The things that God made that were good, there are things that we have used from the earth that God has made and abused it and used it for, not for the end, for what it was intended to be used for. And so, you know, that's where we as people of God have to use our godly knowledge. We have to use our godly knowledge and say, okay, this I know what I can use this for, because you can use social media for a lot of things. You can use social media to help bless and build up your spirit, or you can use social media to use your flesh, you and build up your flesh. So you've got to decide within yourself and make choices. That's the wonderful thing about God, is that God gave us choice. He
Amen.
Never forces himself on us. He has always been a gentleman, and sometimes, well, some people would say, well, you know, he's God, and he knows what I'm going to do before I do it. Why don't he make us do it? Because he wants you to love him for him, not because
Amen.
You're a robot. If he wanted robots, he'd just build robots. But he wanted a willing vessel. That's the key. That's the key right there, a willing vessel. I will to do the work of the Lord. I will to be in relationship with God. And it's not forced upon me. It's in my heart to do so. And so when we get to the place where we understand that this is in our heart, when we start hungering and thirsting after righteousness or the rightness of God, then it will allow things to be opened up to us. And it's difficult because a lot of our young people see those who are on social media, who are in the world, and it looks like they are winning, they're doing, you know, they're the ones with money. They're the ones who care, but they don't understand because they don't really realize what's behind it, you know.
Mm.
So when we realize, oh, yeah, they got homes, which most of them were rented, or just in the video that they were looking at, wasn't even their house, but they look at, they give, this goes back to the tree. It made himself look like something they were not, as if they were producing.
Amen.
And when you really find out, you find out years later they don't have no money, and you're looking after them, striving out, trying to be like them. And the thing about it is, you want to have the latest gear that they have. They want to have the clothes, the cars, and all those different things. And those things are not productive for them. For some of them, don't get me wrong, there are those who are out there who are making money, but there's always something behind it. There's such, when we look at the lifestyle of many who are in the world who are doing secular music or secular things, they have to be careful, even in those things, because the drugs are running rampant. There's so many things that are running rampant. And how many times are we going to have to hear this story over and over again about people who have made it in our society, but they end up dying a terrible death because what was pushing them and what was driving them was something that was causing death for them the whole time. And this is something that people are looking at and saying, okay, they look like they're producing, but the truth of it, that the root of it, it is causing their demise. And so if I'm going to live and be productive, I'd rather get that I'd rather God be my resource than man be my resource. So whatever I get, I want it to come from God. And however God chooses to bring that to me, I'm all right with it. But I don't want to keep looking over my shoulder. I don't want to have to worry about I have to take another hit in order for me to get another hit on another CD or on the music industry or anything else like that. So, you know, you have to find out what's the method behind some of this stuff. And I'm not saying everybody in the world is doing that, but it's such something that is so rampant in the world that we got to look at it. And our children don't look at that; they just look at the glamour of it. Not just our children, but there are those who look at that as well, who are adults, and they think they have it going on. And don't realize that if you got to constantly worry about your next song, cause, you know, or your next hit, whatever it may be, you got to realize that there are things that come with that. And I'd rather wait on God and let him do what he wants to do for me than take that route. And that's how I believe that. There are many of those who are out there that look like they're producing, but they're like the fig tree. They look good, but they don't have no production.
Amen. Amen. I'm hearing something in the background. I don't know if someone's playing with something in the background, but all of that comes through the mic, and everyone can hear it. Amen.
Amen. So it's easy. Somebody said, well, it's easy to speak sometimes into the life of others. I want to share this with people because a lot of times we're easy to speak into the life of others and encourage others concerning their lives, but when it comes to us, we find ourselves very difficult. It's very difficult for us to speak into our own life. And I believe that when we start practicing speaking the goodness of God in our lives and realize that good becomes great, and when you start speaking good and allow the good to become great in your life, you'll find that life will be a little bit more easier for you when you do that. Now, I'm not saying that the road is going to be easy. James Cleveland sang a song, "Nobody told me that the road would be easy," but he didn't bring us this far to leave us by ourselves. And so when we have an understanding that I'm not just here without purpose, but I'm here because there's something that I need to produce in order to help somebody else that is assigned to my hand. And when we start looking at things as if it's just about us and realize that there is someone else that is attached to us that we are to be a blessing to, we'll realize that when we start, as the brother said, when we start praying, those fruits are going to come on our leaves. And then when we start speaking into the lives of other people, it's just going to come off. And when we have conversation, you're going to speak into somebody's life, whether you are just at your job or if you're just sitting on the bus line, you'll find that God will allow you to share, give you an opportunity to share with somebody something that they need to hear at that moment in that time. But if there's nothing that's been poured into you, if you don't have a prayer life, if you're not reading your Bible, if there's nothing that's in you, there's nothing that can come out of you. And so we want to be able to produce in our life, and not only for us, but for those who come into our lives. And realize that some people come into our lives, I often say this, people come into our lives, they are either there in your life as someone who's temporary, who is supposed to pour into you or you're supposed to pour into them. And then there are those who are in your life that God has placed in your life who are there for the longevity. And you've got to realize who is who, because you try to make temporary people permanent and permanent people temporary. So that's something that we really need to look into, because I said that because we want to make sure that people that are in our life get what they need from us and we get what we need from them to help us to be productive as people of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so,
amen.
Is there anybody else that wants to share anything on the line to help our sisters and brothers that may be going through some things that is really just tired of going on that ongoing circle? And it seems like life is just not changing for them.
Amen. Amen.
Because you really understand, you must understand, you have what you need. God has already given us what we need to produce. And what
Amen.
We have to understand is we have to cultivate what he's already placed in us so that we can give it to someone else. I'm just one who believes in destiny. And a lot of times we get sidetracked because we can't see what God already knows. That's really good. We can't see what God already knows. And so when we get to a point in our lives that we can trust God for what he knows, even though our faith will not allow us to see beyond the size of our faith, it even lets us know in this particular text that he, I think it's verse 21, Jesus replied to them, "I assure you, the most solemnly say to you, if you have faith, personal trust," and I'm reading out of the Amplified, trust and confidence in me, and do not doubt or allow yourself to be drawn into two directions, or in other words, two different directions. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And so that's what God is trying to let us know. What he's done, greater work can you do.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. I want to comment on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to comment on. You had made a comment in terms of also the way that we think. You touched on the thought process, and God wants us to have. I mean, our thought process, what we entertain is who we become. So if our thoughts are negative, then what's going to come out of our mouth is going to be negative. So, I like that when you commented on that thought process, because that has a lot to do with the feelings and everything else with how we respond with other people.
Amen.
I just wanted to touch on that thought process in terms of how we think, having that renewed mind, that renewed mind as a man and a woman of God, in the direction that we're moving.
Well, Pastor Clay, sometimes I believe our thought process is the way it is because sometimes of the way we're raised, and our thought process is the way it is because of those that we hang around. It was often said to me that if you want to be rich or you want to be wealthy, you don't hang around people who are broke.
Mm-hmm.
Or financially unstable. Because if everybody is in the same boat, their thought process, I can't think any further than where I am, because we're all trying to figure a way how to get out of this, but nobody has the answer to it because nobody has made that achievement. When I look at the in Scripture, when it talks about the 10 lepers, in that story, all of them were together in the same place that could identify with one another, dealing with the same issues. Nobody could help one another because they all were faced with the same problem. And every time they looked at one another, it was a constant reminder of where they were not going or what they could not do in life. But one day here Jesus is passing by. He goes into this direction which he would normally not go in. And they see Jesus and they all holler because they're all looking for the same thing. They want to get out of where they are because they realize that where they are is not where they should be. And here is an opportunity for me to get out of what I'm in when I see Jesus. And they all holler to Jesus. And the wonderful thing about them that changes their destiny in this text is that they hollered at Jesus, and then Jesus hollered back. And when he hollered back, go show yourself to the priest, it caused them to change destiny in their life because nobody in their circle could help them get them out of what they were in. But here is the master passing by. Just gives them a holler and gives them a go ahead. It's time for me to move out of that direction. So when all of them have the understanding that I can get out of this, sometimes you just need a window of opportunity to get out of where you are because the mindset of where I am, because those that are around me, we all think the same, we all act the same, we all dealing with the same issues, but somebody's ready to get out of what they're in, and they just need to hear Jesus holler at them and let them know, you've got an opportunity to go in. And I believe tonight God is saying to the people of God today, I'm hollering at you to let you know it's time for you to go into your destiny. And every issue or every situation that is in your life, you have the opportunity to break forth on tonight because God said if you speak it into your life, you can speak into your destiny. When you speak into your destiny, it's going to pull you out of what you were in. So that, there may be some people that want to stay where they are, but this is not where you're supposed to be. And I'm trying to tell you that God wants more for his people. to what God wants for us.
Amen.
Pastor, yes. another good example is, you know, when they were on the boat and they seen Jesus walking on the water, and Peter was the only one there to get out of the boat because he wanted to test the waters. He got out of that boat. He had faith enough to get out of the boat where the rest of them thought they seen a ghost. And Peter came out of the boat. He asked Jesus, "If that's you, bid me to come out." And he says, "Come." And see, that's what Christ is telling us. He's telling us now to come, you know, and we got to hear his voice and believe and walk with faith and be strong in what when we have that faith, we can't wither like Peter did. Once he got out of the boat and walked that water, he became afraid. See, a lot of times what happens, success breeds fear a lot of times in people, so we don't want to make that next step. And that's what we have to understand as Christians, that, you know, when God say come, we got to go because he's got our back. He don't call you to do something and don't have your back. So we have to understand when he say come, we got to go, and we got to go because he's given us the authority to go. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. And you know what, brother? I'm glad you brought out that text, because that wonderful thing about that text is everybody in that boat had an opportunity to do what Peter did.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had an opportunity.
Amen.
Which lets us
know they laid back.
We all have an opportunity, but everybody's not going for it. You know, God's given us all the opportunity to receive the gift of salvation, but everybody's not going for it. You know, so you've got to make up in your mind, is this relationship with God don't have nothing to do with nobody else but you. And you either going to seize the moment and take that opportunity and walk out on faith, or you're going to stay in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, so we gotta be water walkers. We can't sit in the boat and wait. Amen. We can't sit back and wait. We gotta be one who dares and go out there, you know. And once we realize that, you know, that see, sometimes we think that we have to try the big stuff, but you know, when we walk lightly, you know, first and just to, you know, I'm talking about a new Christian or a Christian that have not really put faith into it. Believe God for something that, you know, he's going to do. You know, don't, you know, like some Christians, I want this big house. Well, you know, come on now. Your faith is not that big. So you have to work with it where your faith is, you know. And you can't expect a house like what Jordan got. And you're not even keeping the little apartment clean. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So you have to believe where God, what his will is, and you have to ask God, and you have to that comes with communicating and understanding who he is and what he has for you, and growth. It's a lot, but you have to start somewhere, and by getting out of the boat, you're starting.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, we're coming to the close. It looks like we have about 2 minutes left. Pastor Dorn, would you like to pray us, you know, pray our last prayer, and then we're going to close it out. We do thank you for once again for coming in with the word. Don't breathe life into what you want to let die. We thank you so much for that word. Amen.
Amen. So all of those who are listening on this line on tonight, I pray that something was said to you that will be life-changing for you, and that you will leave this line knowing that God is going to do something great. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. We thank you, God, for you allowed us to hear what you needed us to hear today. And there may be those that are on the line that did not speak, but they did receive. And so I pray tonight that everyone under the sound of my voice, that, God, they will hear your word and continue to let that life be spoken into them that will change their destiny, that, God, their feet are ordained by you, and whatever you have assigned for their life to happen, I pray, oh, God, that their destiny will be set before them, and they'll see, God, your will for their life. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings. We're here next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Until next Wednesday, God bless you.
No matter.